Hey, Tim and Trudy here with After Class. Thanks for joining us as we talk about marriage. In Marriage was the title of the lesson, and Trudy taught. Good lesson. Enjoyed it. And we're going to just talk about a couple of things here that came up and some things that maybe she didn't have time for. How are you?
Good.
Any thoughts off the top of your head as you were going through the lesson, as you were delivering the lesson?
No, I mean, some of the things that I wanted to dig deeper in, we've done previous series in, so we didn't really dig deeper. You know, it's hard to know. Our class, for those that don't attend, is a pretty good mix of single and married people. And I think singles need to hear about marriage stuff, and I think married people need to hear about single stuff. But, you know, I didn't really know how much to get into and to cover. There was a lot from Timothy Keller's book that I had to skip out and leave out because of just for time's sake. You know, he went into a whole lot of, but he went into statistics regarding cohabitation and what statistics look like today as far as sex outside of marriage and that kind of thing. And it was interesting. I just couldn't really, I had to pick and choose and edit down. But, you know, if you ever want to go back and get the book and take a peek, there was some good stuff there.
Yeah, and I think it is a good book to if you're thinking about getting married or you're newly married. There are some good things in there about marriage that we didn't have time for and would just be good information to know.
Yeah, and I think I don't remember what the book is called, but not this one that we're using, but Timothy and Kathy Keller have a big, big book on a full thickness book. These, the ones we're using, are just kind of small books on marriage.
And we did a full series on that.
Using his book?
We did.
See, I don't remember that.
It was one of my favorite series.
Well, I remember we've done plenty of marriage series, especially in the early years of our 16 years of teaching this class, but I don't remember that one.
It was their book on marriage, and I think that's pretty much what it was called, Marriage. It had a subtitle, but yeah. You can Google it. You'll find it. Good book. Had a lot of information. One of the things that as kind of jumped out to me to this lesson was actually a part that I don't think came from Tim and Kathy Keller, right? The on Mind the Gap.
Yes, that's an Andy Stanley thing that I had heard, I want to say a few years ago. I'm bad with time frames, but it just stuck with me. And so I made a point of going back and re-listening. It was actually a three-part series. This is only like a small fraction of his part three in that series, but it is so sobering to me because we're all guilty of this. You know, we all have expectations that the experience doesn't meet the expectation, and what we expected and what we experienced don't line up. So there's this gap that's created. And what we don't think about is we always fill that gap with something. And unfortunately, a lot of times we fill it with something negative. We think something negative about the other person's motive. We assume something negative about the other person's intent. And instead of, as scripture was telling us in that 1 Corinthians verse, to believe, to trust.
Yeah, there's an old saying, and I may not get it exactly right, but it's, don't ascribe to malice what can be explained by incompetence.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the same thing. Don't think that somebody's out to get you or somebody's evil. And that's what we do. Oh, they're such a bad person. We attack their character rather than looking at, it just may have been something that has some other reason to it that is not what you think it is. That section is really big because in marriage, there's a lot of expectations, and they're not going to get met all the time. Sometimes they will. Sometimes they'll get exceeded. But
right. Well, and not, like I said, really, it's really stressing not just marriage. In every relationship, yeah, this is going to come up, which was the irony for me is on Thursday, I was typing and writing down my notes of this section of the series, and I got up to do something, and I was walking through the house. A thought came to my mind, as thoughts tend to do, and it was about a person in my life, not my husband, not my children, that... that it's a little bit of a struggle relationship for me. This is not a bad person. This is not an ill-intentioned person as far as I can tell, but it's a bit of a struggle. And I realized the reason for the struggle is there's been a few instances that has caused me to stop and have the thought, I'm not sure I can trust you. You know, and I don't think it's somebody that's intentionally lying or being manipulative. I think they kind of tend to shoot off their mouth without stopping to think if they really mean what they're saying, good or bad. So it's a bit of a strained relationship for me. It's a bit of a relationship that brings up some insecurities in me. It's a bit of a relationship that, you know, I'd like to kind of tell them a thing or two now and again. But I realized as soon as I stood up from my notes talking about this very thing, I did the exact thing I was writing don't do. I filled that gap. And I didn't even realize I was filling it. And I filled it really quickly. And it was with negative assumptions on their motive, their intent, just a lot of basis on that. But when I stopped and said, hey, wait, look what you're doing, I realized they were assumptions. They felt really real because they lined up with the feelings I was feeling in my insecurities because of this person. But if you looked at it honestly, they were assumptions. Maybe they're true, maybe they're not. But because I don't know, I need to fill it with believing in the best, thinking the best of them. So before I went back to my Sunday school lesson, I just took a little pause and started praying for that person. You know, not praying that God does anything that's going to benefit me in their behalf, but just praying for them. Because it's really hard to have ill feelings towards somebody that you're earnestly praying for.
Okay, I got a question for you, because I had this comment, question after class. Let's see if I can put it like it was. The section on never go to bed angry.
Yep.
And I was kind of asked, well, I thought that you shouldn't really dive into conversations late at night, serious conversations that there are times where you need to let them go and maybe address it the next day. Isn't that... Basically, I think the wording was, I thought that was garbage. Somebody, you know, told them, well, they thought it was me. They thought I had said that. And I said, no.
Wait, they thought you had said what?
That never go to bed angry is kind of garbage because you need to process it. Mm. And you need to, I said, no.
But I don't think never going to bed angry and hashing things out before bed don't go hand in hand necessarily. I mean, you and I can have an argument and I agree to a point that it's not usually a really good idea to discuss things late at night. You're both tired. You know, there could be other things going on, but that still doesn't mean you go to bed angry. You know, you can do what we talked about where you're praying together and some of that anger dissipates. Have you resolved everything? Maybe not. Do you need to table the discussion until the next day? Maybe so. Mm-hmm. But there's still that issue of, I'm not going to hold this anger and let it harbor within me while I sleep to cement into any kind of, you know, organizing into memories and habits that I'm going to wake up with that are suddenly deeper than they were the night before because I held on and went to bed angry.
Yeah. That was kind of my answer, is you can choose what to do with your anger.
Right.
You don't have to go to bed angry. Doesn't mean you resolve the issue.
Right.
It doesn't even mean that you necessarily have been able to address the issue before you go to bed, but you can choose what to do with the anger. And I think it goes along with sometimes we identify ourselves with the anger. I'm angry, rather than
this. I have anger.
Yeah, I have anger. This is an emotion, and you can kind of examine it, look at it, and choose what to do with it. Unrelated, I had this conversation with a young person a couple weeks ago, of they were dealing with some anger, and I said, look, you have to look at the anger, choose what you're going to do with it, and you be in control of the anger and not let the anger tell you what to do.
And I think a lot of times when we're angry, this wasn't a lesson on anger. We've certainly done plenty of series on anger. But I think a lot of times when we feel anger, the anger is so strong, we don't stop to examine why we're angry. Mm-hmm. We are angry. You're the reason, and you need to fix it. Instead of going, wait a minute, why am I angry? Is there something, did you hit a trigger in me that you don't know anything about? Is there something from my past, is this touching on, that is causing this anger to spring up? And, you know, maybe not. Maybe 100% of the problem was the other person, and, you know, 100% of the blame goes there. Usually that's not the case, but I still have a choice what I'm going to do with that anger. And I don't have to take it to bed with me. It doesn't mean I have to resolve it to let the anger go, but I'm choosing what to do with that emotion that God has wired within me so that I'm not sinning with it.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to be angry. We can do something with that anger.
Because I'm sure in our long marriage, there's probably been plenty of times where you really ticked me off and I got angry.
I can't see where that would have ever happened. I don't think that.
And I got angry and we didn't necessarily resolve it before we went to bed, but I can choose to let the anger go until we have a time that is a healthier opportunity to discuss it. You don't want to put it off a week. You don't want to put it off days even, but it doesn't have to be discussed at bed, to before bed, in order for you not to go to bed angry.
Right. And I would say that's, we've said it before, that's a terrible time to have a conversation.
Yeah, it is.
a deep conversation, because it's always different at night. Mm-hmm. You wake up in the morning and the sun is shining and you're going, oh.
You feel differently. The things of the day aren't weighing on you. You try to have those deep conversations late at night. Things can go south and then you've just compounded your problem.
Was there an area of this lesson that was harder to teach than another?
I don't think so. You know, my struggle is always, I want this to be relevant. You know, I want this to be something that they have come to class because they are given of their time, that they're going to walk away and go, hey, you know, I'm glad I heard that. I'm glad I have that. I can use that.
Anything else that you didn't say?
I don't think so. Nope.
No. You covered everything?
Yeah. Well, you want me to come up with something?
No, I'm just wondering.
Is there anything you think I should have covered that I didn't?
No. You know, this is one of those that's, I think, difficult for me, just in the sense, making sure everybody knows we're not coming from a place of, well, we're talking about this because we have a perfect marriage.
Oh, no.
It's just God helps us in things, and sometimes some of the things we have to work even harder on.
But you know what I really did like, and we, you know, we've always worked on our marriage, but I enjoy our marriage. You know, I don't look at our marriage as something that's a burden. But what I liked was that example from Marcus Buckingham's book, The One Thing You Need to Know, where we talked about that 20-year study. And I thought, you know, that would be me. You know, if most of the time when I look at different qualities of character and virtue and the things that they were looking at, I would be giving you higher scores than I would be giving myself. And most every year, there's probably something, you know, maybe people related that I would rate myself a little higher on or something. But by and large, I keep making that face. By and large, I think that would be me if I were taking that quiz. Because I look at you and I just think you're great.
I don't disagree.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. And with that, I think we've come to the conclusion of After Class Day. Thanks for staying with us through this. If you have any questions or comments, make sure you let us know. Click on the link on the website or just send us an email, text, whatever you want to do. Thanks for coming by.